Here now is Matt Austin and Ginger Gadsden with Florida's Fourth Estate. Sponsored by Light Orlando. Delivering hope together.
Welcome to Florida's Fourth Estate. We are on location today in a very special place. There are so many amazing places in Central Florida that you drive past. You maybe have no idea why it's named what it's named, why it's located where it's located, or what the hell happened in the past. And today we're going to sort that out for one particular place, Sanford, Florida.
I know. You don't usually drive past Sanford. A lot of people actually live here. So it's like, what does the name of the place mean where you've called home for a long, long time? Well, we have found the perfect person to answer this question and so many others. Her name is Brigitte Stevenson. She is the curator at the Sanford Museum. And we have just had the best time talking to her before cameras even started rolling. There's so much to unpack here about Sanford, and it can be a complicated story. Tell me a little bit about this planned city. That's one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, so Henry Sanford originally came down here in Florida and realized after the American Civil War that Florida was probably going to be a place that's going to rebound, mainly because of citrus. You had Harriet Beecher Stowe writing Palmetto Leaves. She's the one who also wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin. And that brought in a lot of northern investors. And Henry Sanford thought this was a perfect place because we were the end of the line of the riverboats for the St. John's River. Of course, this is before Henry Flagler built his railroad down to the Keys. So that kind of ruined that.
Yeah, but, spoiler. Man.
Yeah, exactly. But we were going to become the gateway city. So the idea is that we would be the gateway to South Florida, that you would have to come down through the river and stop here. And you could either, you know, buy all your supplies here and continue further south, or, you know, actually be in somewhat civilization.
Yeah.
So he made a company eventually called the Florida Land and Colonization Company. And they were, through a bunch of investors, mainly people, oddly enough, from the United Kingdom. So you had like the Scottish and Englishmen basically deciding on the fate of the city. They would get messages from agents that were living in this area and being like, hey, we need a sawmill, or we need this, or we need that. And they would try to find the money for that. And for a while, we were kind of the major Central Florida town in this area. It really, there's several different factors why we did not become what, you know, Orlando is today. I know Henry Sanford would be turning in his grave to hear that, like, we're the cute gem in Central Florida.
Just north of Orlando.
I mean, some people think it's a bad thing that you're not Orlando.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, but yeah, no, I like the fact we've kind of maintained our own identity. But yeah, so we were supposed to be this bigger town. And one of the reasons why we didn't become it is, one is we had a lot of agricultural business, and they didn't want to necessarily become super, become a city and that urbanization and such. And then one of the other reasons is we had a mayor on the eve of the Great Depression. Turned out he was embezzling money.
Because a corrupt mayor?
Yes, exactly. And he was so corrupt, he actually went to jail for it. That never happens these days.
Whoa. Was that the last time that happened?
I don't know. As far as I know him. But yeah, that was Mayor Forest Lake. And if you kind of drove by, you may have noticed that old, like, 1920s, like, hotel that's not doing amazing right now. Maybe one day it will be. We'll see. But that was originally called the Hotel Forest Lake after him. Whether or not it's built on embezzled funds, I don't know.
Complicated history.
Complicated
here
history,
in Sanford.
Nonetheless.
One of the things you were telling us about that I thought was fascinating is the fact that there's a Swedish population that kind of blossomed here in this Central Florida. These Swedes who came over here must have just thought, what did I do? What decision did I make?
Exactly. And we know that for facts. I'll get a little into like why. So in order to build a town, you need people to build a town,
for
funny
sure,
enough.
Yeah.
So Henry Sanford tries originally hiring the local population. He does not think they do a good job and fires them. And so then he tries bringing in people who were formerly enslaved that were black from Monticello, Florida, in this area. Now, most of the people he fired before were white and very upset that they viewed these people were taking their jobs, and tried to conduct a series of basically intimidation and murder to drive out these workers in the area.
Well, they were fired. They took jobs that they no longer had.
Exactly. So, And that's actually the reason why we have Georgetown, which is a historically Black community that recently was inducted in the National Register. So that's pretty exciting for us as well. But that was made by Henry Sanford to be a safe space. But he's still having problems keeping workers, you know. So he has a friend named Henshin, who's from Sweden, and says, have you thought about bringing in Swedes? So underneath the contract labor law, he is able to bring Swedes, and they have to work for him for 5 years, and that would pay for their room and boarding and passage, and they would eventually get a little piece of property in what is the area that we call New Uppsala. If you're Swedish, I know you're screaming at how I'm pronouncing Uppsala.
We're not Swedish.
That's how we've started calling it here, New Uppsala. And that community was for the Swedes. And they, I don't want to say unfortunately, they quickly assimilated. So you'll meet a lot of people with Swedish last names in this area. And they very much have a very Southern accent.
Yeah. Were the lazy people not happy to see the Swedes come in? Or I love how in history the laziest people somehow can get ambitious and like nasty to everybody who comes
in. One of the terms they used was shiftless. So you're not far from what like Henry Sanford thought about these workers. But with the Swedes, I think it was because they were able to quickly, there was some kind of, we know that they faced a little bit of persecution in the beginning. We have all these kind of written things that people are somewhat afraid of them and their customs. But we know that after the freeze, they quickly assimilated within those white communities and such. So a lot of them married into some of these older white families that were in this area, kind of Southern white families in this area.
But for these immigrants who were coming from someplace so different than Florida, that had to be a real shock.
It was. And we know that they tried breaking their contract. We have these letters being like, we had to get a constable out to drag one of these Swedes back to finish their contract. And Henshin was embarrassed by this because he vouched to Henry Sanford, like, I swear Swedes are like good people. And he's like, they're breaking their contract. So he had to write an immigrant guide basically like, hey, don't bring your like super heavy woolen clothes. Like, this isn't Minnesota.
Don't pet the alligator.
Yeah, exactly. These are the people that are going to scam you. Like, trust me. Like, this is what you need to do. And we actually, because people knew of the Swedish colony, people actually came here. There was one guy, I believe Villain. He got off the boat from Savannah, Georgia, and walked all the way down here because he heard there was a Swedish group in this area. So we started getting more Swedes from other places in the United States just on word of mouth. And so the Swedes did eventually kind of, you know, find themselves and have grown to stay here in this area.
Oh, that's so interesting. Can you tell us a little more about how, you know, Florida is known for its citrus industry, but somehow Sanford became known for celery at one point?
Yes. So originally we were planned to be citrus. Henry Sanford is in the Citrus Hall of Fame for his experimental gardens and groves, Belair. And he wanted to have people investing in the area for this kind of like, I like to joke, it's gold of another kind. But unfortunately, we had a freeze in 1895 and 1896 that destroyed our citrus industry. And instead of being like, oh, I give up, the people of Sanford decided, you know what, we're going to do another luxury crop. And they chose celery. Hard to believe that celery was a luxury crop. It's mainly like a receptacle for like peanut butter and, you know.
Absolutely.
Bloody Mary's.
Ranch dressing.
Yes, exactly.
Ranch dressing.
I like what you're doing. Exactly. In the 19th century, because it was so hard to grow, because it needs a certain temperature, I think like 70 degrees for about 3 months, and like super swampy and fertile water, that was hard to grow. It was also viewed as a very aesthetic plant, and it used to be considered one of the most expensive vegetables.
Celery?
Yeah. You can actually look at old like hotel menus, like the Waldorf, and it's like blanched celery is as much as like filet mignon.
No,
oh my gosh.
No,
it's just can't give it away now. Try to get your kid to eat some celery.
It's a side little garnish. Yeah.
There was an article that called it the avocado toast of the past.
Oh no. No, ma'am. I'm not buying what you're selling right there.
Exactly. Actually, we're kind of the reason why. Part of the reason of the downfall of celery, because we before you could almost become a celery millionaire in Sanford.
A cellionaire.
Yeah. But oh my goodness. But our celery industry, our last celery farm left in 1976, I believe. I like to joke now that we mainly grow houses for Orlando, but I know some of the old timers would fight me with that. One of the reasons was once we had the draining of the Everglades, fertilizer prices were also going up. So we had a lot of farmers just said, to hell with it. We're going down south and starting a farm there. The other reason is we just kind of overinflated the industry. We were fighting with Kalamazoo, Michigan, which had one half of the year with celery. We took on the other half, and no longer it was this, you know, bougie, fancy thing.
Yeah, it wasn't unique.
Yeah, there was more of it out there. I'm curious, you've talked a lot. Wow, you are so knowledgeable on this place. It's very interesting to hear all the different twists and turns of Sanford. How do you think the history has shaped this city and turned it into what it is today?
I think it definitely, Sanford has been always a group of resilient people. It's been made of people that wanted big ideas that may or may not have worked, as well as kind of this delightful, I would argue, stubbornness to continue on and find another way. And I think to this day, we kind of see that in Sanford. We see it, the fact that we have this great historic districts. We have three historic districts in the area, and that's preserved and taken care of to represent that history compared to, you know, if you're always going on to the next thing and you forget your past, that history is taken away. And I think the people of Sanford are really good in the fact that they want to continue on these stories. And while we have our ups and downs, I think we're a people that, you know, are excited for the future and excited to continue on the next chapter. I like to joke now that, you know, not only houses for Orlando, but we have great beer and great nightlife scene here.
Yeah, it's a fun place to visit.
Exactly. So maybe the celery to the Bloody Mary. They took inspiration from that. Like, we can now make Bloody Marys.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that sounds delightful. But if you ever meet anyone, when you know people who are from Sanford, they are passionate about where they live, and they know their history, and they will defend it tooth and nail. What do you think? I know you say they're stubborn, but what is that?
I don't even say, you know, I say stubborn, and I don't even mean it like in a bad way.
No, yeah.
I mean, it's passionate, because I think there is this fear of Orlando is growing, and it's like, who are we as people? We're Sanfordites. And what is a Sanfordite in this area? And it's a wonderful history. We were always, you know, we were going to be the one. We were going to be the number one Central Florida town. And in our own way, I think people still believe that. It may not necessarily be the biggest town in the area, but it's a town full of heart. It's a town full of people that are willing to help each other and tell a little bit. I was very lucky when I first moved down here at how nice everybody was. I like to joke, when I first was a museum assistant, I got, you know, 12 new grandmothers that were willing to help, you know, they're like, oh, I'm downsizing, take this. Yeah. And they would tell me the whole history of an item that they would give me. These are people that want their stories recorded. They're passionate and they care. And they want to know, as we have more and more commuters in this area, that they can be Sanfordites. You just have to remember, you are a Sanfordite, not an Orlandian.
There you go. Don't say you're from Orlando.
No, wasn't there a big controversy when they named the airport?
Yes. I remember, it's because it was like I first moved down here. Yes. And I remember going to a bar. And I remember it was like a heated discussion between the bar patrons. Like, people were getting heated. I was like, what have I wanted?
Yeah. So if you ever want to learn about Sanfordites or Cellionaires, we found the perfect place for you to visit. What is the best way for folks to come and hang out with you at the museum?
First of all, we're free. I like to joke we're the best free thing to do in the city. I am biased.
Only.
Yeah, I know. These days it's hard to find a free thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are free. We're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, 9 to 5. If you ever want to do a group tour, though, please contact me at sanfordmuseum@sanfordfl.gov. Or you can give us a call. You can find all of our information on our website, on social media. But we hope to see you. To see you guys again.
Yeah. Brigitte Stevenson.
Well, a young person who's so fascinated by history.
I would like to get her in a room with Dr. Jim Clark from UCF.
Yes.
Oh. Those two.
The history professor.
Oh my gosh, he is something else. And so are you. Thank you for your time and just educating us about this beautiful place.
Exactly. No, I'm happy to. as a Sanfordite, I'm proud.
Yeah. And come learn about Henry Sanford. That's a whole other show.
Oh, yeah.
This guy. Peel back the layers of that onion. You're going to find some interesting... Peel back that celery and find some
slowly.
Very
devein
slowly.
The celery.
Look at his letters to his widow. Yeah. It'll be fascinating. Thank you so much for joining us for another edition of Florida's Fourth Estate. Rajit, great having you. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
And thank you for watching Florida's Fourth Estate. You can download it from wherever you listen to podcasts or watch anytime on News 6+.